Inner Talk Podcast. We'll know topic is off limits. Now here's your host, Mind Daddy, and Void a Soul. Thank you for coming to the Inner Podcast. Boom, talk, boom.
All right, we will start in 3, 2, 1. Boom, shalak, boom, everybody. My name is Ryan Westa. I am your host of Neandertalk Podcast. Today, I got Pound Game Addison.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you doing, man? I'm good. How are you?
Good, brother. Appreciate you having me.
Pull this up. I should have done this beforehand. Put this real close to your mouth.
Right there.
Yeah. See how much better that sounds?
Yeah, way better.
Yeah. What's up, man? Yeah, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
I was pouring you and your guest and Charles over here some tequila, and yeah. I was just thinking, I do this every single time. I always offer drinks to my guests, and it's always good stuff, but I always realize I make them, you, my guests, drink how I drink. Like, I'm not making any fucking fancy cocktails or anything. Like, I just drink shit straight.
Straight to the point.
And I'm always like, that's probably not easy for everybody. You know, you kind of have to acquire that taste, I think, for it.
It's different, you know. I'm used to mixing it with a little orange juice, but right. Hey, I'm going to try it.
But nobody, the thing is, nobody ever says anything bad about it because I think they want to, like, you know. It's not
quality.
That. I just think they don't want to be, like, a little bitch about it. And so, like, oh, man, I'm a little bitch, but I can't say it. I got to just man up and drink this shit
man
straight.
Up.
So I have to apologize to you and all my previous guests and all my future guests because I'm not changing, but I still have to apologize. If you're gonna drink over here, we drink straight or over an ice cube, you know.
Big ice cube at that.
Big beautiful. How sexy is that ice cube?
It's craziest ice cube on the scene.
I've been working, that's been my game lately. I've been trying to figure out how to get clear ice cubes. I finally got I got it. What's up, man?
Man, life, man. On this tour right now, so it's good to be in Kansas City. A little cold, but, you know, I'm loving it.
Yeah. I met you last, I don't know if it was last time you were on tour, but it was your Smoke Tour.
Yeah, the Smoke Love Tour.
That's Smoke Love yep. Tour. I had that shirt somewhere. I was going to wear it tonight, but I couldn't find it. you put on a good little show.
Man, I appreciate that. Yeah, this time just enhancing it as much as possible, adding to the production, and, man, you know, going back to it.
So you're not based out of Kansas City. You're from Phoenix area or something? Or?
Oh, yeah, I stay out in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's that scene like?
A lot different. Just a different type of culture, really. Man, a lot of it is like the new Hollywood. It's going to be like the new L.A. So.
How so?
A lot of celebrities coming through there, a lot of celebrities moving there.
Really? In Phoenix?
Yeah. And what they're doing now is just like, they don't have...
Is there some kind of special tax thing there? Like, is there no property or any, some kind of no state income?
Something about the
taxes,
yeah. Something about the taxes. And a lot of people coming down is starting to get real packed, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, you run into a lot of people just going out and being on the scene.
I lived in Tucson for a very short while. And I went to Phoenix a few times and all the surrounding, the little, I don't know, it's cool, but it doesn't feel like a city because it's so spread out.
Definitely. It's definitely spread out. Like, it's like four different areas to go to. And
Glendale and Mesa and I don't know what the other ones are.
Tempe,
yeah,
Scottsdale.
Tempe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scottsdale, yep. I was also a big Frisbee golfer.
Oh, yeah. Perfect weather to do out there.
It's big. It's really big there. There's like the big beginning of the Frisbee Golf Tour kind of starts right there in Phoenix. There's a big tournament called the Memorial.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of like the first big, like the first kickoff big Frisbee Golf tournament of the year for people.
They got a lot of stuff like the PGA, the waste management, all that comes down to Phoenix too. So,
ooh, have you been to the waste management?
Yeah, just this last time.
You went?
Yep, I went to the 18th hole for that party down there. So,
Was that the one with the hole in one?
Yeah, with Tiger Woods. Yeah.
No, there was
was 16. That was 16.
No, this past waste management, some dude got a hole in one, but I don't know what hole. Oh, you're saying 16? Hole 16?
Yeah, hole 16.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
that
fun, man.
That looks wild. That place looks wild.
When I say, like, a lot of people come in town for it, it's crazy. And, yeah, man, the after parties and just everything, so.
Are you a golf fan, or did you just go for the party?
I just went because this agent I was working with, he wanted me to check it out. It was my first time going, though. So I was watching, like, okay, this is crazy.
What was it like for you? So you show up, and are you thinking, man, I don't want to watch golf?
Well, it's crazy. No one is watching the golf. Like, okay. Everybody's just getting drunk as hell, kicking it. Your outfit, and they make you wear, like, polo shoes or whatever. Just it's just different. So everybody's uncomfortable because they don't usually wear this shit.
Golf
and,
attire,
and they're just getting drunk, kicking it.
That's funny. Do you bring your own beer, or you bring your own drinks? Or
nah, you got to go straight to the bar.
Is it expensive?
Definitely. It's, like, probably $33 for a drink.
How are these people getting? I've seen videos on TikTok of these kids just stumbling their way through.
Oh, a lot of it, like, if you get into a certain section, they give it's basically you're paid to be in this part, but so you get unlimited drinks. So a lot of people will just pay for that package and just get shit faced the whole day.
Okay, that's what it is. I'm like, yeah, I figured it was that or people bringing their own. Because you see people, I've never seen people that many people so drunk. It's like Mardi Gras. Like, there's this many people drunk at Mardi Gras as the same amount of people drunk at Waste Management.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a few places where you can just buy an unlimited pass and just drink until you can't drink no more.
Did you have that pass? Or
I did not have that pass.
Did you get crazy drunk?
I had a couple of drinks. After 70, I was cool.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you got it.
Would you go again?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's fun. I think you need to go with a group of people. Because if you go one or even on a couple, it's like, this is boring. Like, we can go do something else.
Yeah, you got to make friends.
Definitely. Got to make friends.
Okay. I'm curious. Okay, what was wilder in the city? That or when Super Bowl was there?
Oh, man, Super Bowl.
Yeah. Because
that's when people was just doing reckless shit, like jumping off cars or jumping on top of them. And but you could tell they was drunk and just in the moment. And it was just races all night. And people was just doing random stuff. So it was fun.
I like Phoenix. So how do you go from doing your tour? How do you pick where you're going to go? Like, how do you go from Phoenix to Kansas City? That's like 20 hours of a drive.
20 hours. Really, man, what we do is, so I drop an album, right? And I'll drop this album like 4 to 5 months before the tour gets announced.
Okay.
And with this album, I'm seeing whoever's streaming my songs in whatever city, whatever state. And then I go right to them cities in them states and, you know, just kind of execute on it and, you know, enhance that experience for them.
Wow, that's smart.
Yeah. Like, even this time, there's some places I have never been in my life, never even heard of, like Idaho Falls. But in Idaho Falls, you got, you know.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful. You got like 1,200 to, you know, 1,500 random people streaming your song. So you like, why not go here?
That doesn't sound like a very big city either. Like, how big is that city? Do you know? Have you been there yet?
I've never been there. I didn't even, when
you
I looked it up,
the,
I'm like.
The beautiful jar there. I'm gonna,
definitely, definitely. I'm yeah, when I looked it up, I seen it was like kind of outside of Arizona and stuff. So it should be close and be fun.
Wait, Idaho Falls is outside of Arizona?
It's like right outside of Utah. It's like on that west.
But it's in Idaho?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that seems like if there's 1,200 people streaming that shit, that seems pretty high for that population.
That's what I said. So when I seen it, I was like, wow.
How would you get fans there, I wonder?
It's probably just so when you go to places like New York or whatever, like I go to New York and I never firstly meet nobody from New York. Like I might meet somebody from Florida, somebody from Alabama, or just random places.
When you go to New York?
Yeah.
New York City?
Yeah, it's like a big tourist town, so.
I've never been.
Well, yeah, it's nice, man. It's
I've been to New York in Las Vegas.
Hey.
Does that count? I've seen that Statue of Liberty.
Hey, man.
And the roller coaster. But New York City doesn't have a roller coaster around old Lady Liberty, does it?
Yeah, New York is a very just diverse, versatility place. So,
are you going there for music when you go there, or just to hang out, or what?
Yeah, music. Like I've only been twice, and both has been shows. So
you'll go anywhere.
I'll go everywhere.
How do you? How like? Do you have a Sprinter van? Do you have just a couple cars? You got a big RV. Like, how are you going? How are you doing these tours?
It just depends how far it is. Like, if it's super far, like New York, I'm flying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not driving that.
No?
But if it's like through the Midwest, we'll take a couple cars. And if it's like, if I'm taking my whole entire team, like my merchandise and everything, we're going to take a Sprinter.
Yeah, that would be I think the way a tour bus. How expensive is like a cheap ass tour bus?
Too expensive for me. It's outrageous. For that tour bus, then you got to hire a tour driver. You got And most of them buses are rented, so the rental fees be like $3,000 a month just to have that tour bus.
Have you ever thought about making some kind of tour, you know, buy like an old school bus and then, but, you know, repurpose it, make it all.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
I've thought about that. And what I want to do is just build a phenomenal team and just make sure it's worth what it's doing, you know, because otherwise let's hop in the cars and get to it.
I mean, I love that. I love the grind of the independent artist that's just trying to get out there and make it.
Yeah,
however it looks. Like, it is. I pay attention to, you know, I love local hip hop. I love hip hop, really. It's just always, I've been a hip hop head since I can remember.
Nice.
And I see the grind out there. I see a lot of all different age people, all artists that are just grinding, and this is what they want their life to be, but they don't get to, like, it's hard to make it. There's so much talent out there. Like, you have to find some way to separate yourself from the other people outside of just your talent. And it's like, is it just luck? How much is just luck involved? Yeah. I always wonder that. How much is just pure luck? And how much of it is just the hustle? Because I've seen both sides. I had this guy on a couple weeks ago. He signed to Strange Music. And he's super, super talented. But then you also hear the hustle on how, you know, it wasn't even him. It was his girl. His girl that's also his manager was just like beaten down like every single day sending messages to like the Strange Music people. And finally one day, like, all right, we'll check it out.
Hey.
So like how much is that is luck, but also like hard work. And then it's also like you got to find people in your corner. You got to find a good team.
It takes a lot, like that, like what you just said, like that person that believes in you is the most important person in your life. Because, like, of course, the artist yourself believes in it, but to make someone else believe in it just like you, that means you're really doing something, you know. The grind is the beauty of it, though. Just grinding through and then finally getting to that point where you're like, I ain't got to do this no more. You know, I can really sit back and reap my benefits.
I mean, saying the grind is the beauty of it, I understand. I'm grinding. This fucking podcast is fucking grinding. You know, I don't have $100 million Spotify deal. You know, I don't have Barstool Sports knocking me, you know, knocking on my door saying, hey, come work. You know, I'm just independent, like.
Grinding.
And there's beauty in it. But at some point, you're like, fuck. Yeah, there's beauty, but like I want the real beauty with it. Like, you know what I mean? Like I want some, I don't know, something more.
And what's crazy, half the time, like, you know, for example, your podcast, like you said, like this to me, from what I've seen, is a, you know, a lot more better than a, you know, just a lot of setups, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that you took your time to do this and put yourself at this level is already you're in it. And even, you know, my homeboy had to make me realize, like, sometimes we be in this and don't realize what we're actually doing.
Yeah.
No matter how hard we working, like, to other people, they don't know what we're doing. So to them, they just reaping the benefit of seeing it.
That's true. You do sometimes kind of have to step outside of yourself and kind of look at
definitely
everything you have accomplished and not look at the shit that you haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's hard.
It is.
Sometimes it's hard. So how, like, I imagine you'd like to get to a point where you have your own tour bus. Like, what kinds of things are you trying to do other than touring? Like, is like how, outside of like luck, like how are you putting yourself in that position to level up and get to wherever you're big, you're like, you know, like, yeah, like you, like, I don't know, you're hanging out with Tyga and DaBaby or whoever. And just like, yo, these are like, we hang out and
like, these are my people.
These are my people. Like,
yeah, man, just really, as I said, the grind of it. I'm learning stuff day in and day out. You know, no matter how much I think I know, I still learn stuff. So when I get to learn stuff, I get to add into what I'm already doing. So now I'm enhancing it. So like this is my fourth tour. And the first tour, that's huge. Yeah, it's amazing.
I think that's a wonderful place to start is touring, because that just seems like you get people at that show, even if a ton of people don't show up.
You build the day one fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you know that's what it's about. And that, since I've been able to do that throughout these tours, it's kind of enhanced me to get bigger venues. And
nice.
You know, I might have started off at a venue that only holds 100 people, but now I'm at a place that holds 500 just because they want to see if I can do it now. So. Just the opportunities are growing, and so when you get to growing, it catches the attention from, like, the industry, and people start looking at you, and, you know, I think I threw a Power Fest, I was going to do one with BFB, the Pac-Man, and, you know, Royce Bell, and those are just people that's in the industry.
Right.
So what I'm starting to see is, like, the more I get in the industry, the more I'm just naturally meeting these people. It ain't hard to do.
Right.
And we're just kicking it. But I don't realize it because I'm in it.
Okay.
So it's fun, man, and just seeing it. And when you get to look back, you're like, man, hey, okay, I'm really kicking it with such and such right now. And now I'm looking for the bigger picture of, like, how do I get to BET Awards, or how do I get to this stage, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, how do you? You got to just, I mean, that's a cool goal to have.
Man, I'm eager to figure it out every day.
Well, I think touring is, like I said, that has got to be a really good way to get out there. And then I see people like making music video. Like, where is the industry right now to kind of grow? Is it doing shorts on TikTok? Is it doing the old school music? Not old school, but, like, you know, music video has been around since, you know,
been around
90s.
Yeah.
I don't really call the 80s ones. I mean, they're kind of getting there, but, you know, mid 90s is when MTV and BET were like.
Booming.
If you're on there, you're like, you made it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, our music videos, because now I see a lot of music videos out there, and there's so many good ones. Like, how do you, I don't know, you got a social media manager or something? Like, you got to have somebody to figure out shit for you, right?
Yeah, man.
It's just too much. You have to do more than just be a creator.
You got to do way more. You got to stand up.
Yeah.
And nowadays, what I'm peeping is a lot of more natural content. Like, it ain't like back in the day where you have to set up a set, get 6 models, you know, make sure you got 2 cars in the video just to shoot the video. A lot of people are just naturally doing it now.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, and just going and, you know, just putting their natural content into it. That's what I kind of lead by, too. Like, if it ain't natural, I don't want to do it.
I saw your man VA over here doing some vlogging over here, or at least some recording.
VA.
Is that something you're trying to do, is like do a vlog type of thing to go with everything else? Have you released anything yet, or is it just kind of?
Nah, we
I didn't think I've tried looking a little bit of stuff, and I didn't see anything.
Nah, we're gonna do a big blog about this tour. It's gonna be the 20 hours tour blog, and it's just taking, you know, everything we're doing and putting it together and let people watch it after the tour.
Yeah, I think that'd be. I'm a big YouTube guy. I don't know. You know what, Charles? Do I give away just too much, like, you should do this? I give too many ideas away, and I'm like, why?
Nah, I love ideas.
Why would anybody listen to me? Like, I feel like I just run my mouth.
Nah, I love ideas, man. You never know what that could turn into.
I'm a YouTube guy. Of course, this show is up on YouTube. You can watch it, Neandertalk Podcast. And I'm always on YouTube watching shit, and I really like, I'm really into travel shows. There's this dude named Kurt Kaz. You ever heard of him? He's like from South America or South Africa and German. I don't know. He claims both countries somehow. But he just travels the world and with, like, you know, a GoPro with, like, on a stick or something holding back. Or, like, he's getting in, like, tuk-tuks. And he's not going to the touristy areas. He's going to, like, wherever he goes, the locals are always like, hey, hide your camera. You're going to get robbed.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I think I'll be fine. And he never gets fucked with. Never. But, man. I mean, he's also going probably at like 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. You
know what I mean? In the morning. Yeah, they're just waking up.
Yeah.
They ain't on that.
Yeah, they're kind of sleeping right now. You're probably.
Yeah.
But you see him going in all these different places. And I just, you know, he'll go into a barber shop and get his hair cut. And it's just. In the life of him traveling. And there is a space for that. And I don't see a ton of, like, I love hip hop and I love travel videos. And it'd be cool to see, especially a guy that's on the come up, the guy that's grinding, seeing your story and vlogging every single day and just recording everything you guys do. And then just making like either, I don't know, 1 hour a week.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, we're going to Kansas City this week. Here's the drive. Oh, we stopped in Amarillo and had this, what is that, Bucky's or Boosie's or whatever that.
Just a random gas station.
Whatever that gas station is.
All the Texas
is.
Gas stations, whatever, Bucky's.
Bucky's? Yeah. You know, you do a video there. You stop in there and do that. Put that on there. Just
We just did that in Denver. That's funny.
Yeah, did you record it all and shit?
Yeah, we did. Nice. We're actually making a music video for it. So it just happened. Like, we went to the studio. He came up with a song idea. We're just making this crazy song. And like an hour later, we like, bro, let's go shoot the video. So we end up just going to a gas station that was showing a lot of love and a bunch of random other spots. And it came out nice. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think that would be that. I love that.
That's nice. Yeah.
If you're just like nonstop recording shit like that and put it out there, I think that would just be another piece of the formula that you can use to kind of like explode somehow. Like if
definitely.
If your music's not exploding, well, maybe you have a couple, you know, not putting all your eggs in one basket, and you put it over vlogging of you touring, and then, I don't know, I think that would be really cool. I'm looking for that. I'm looking to find a young, up-and-coming, independent artist that's vlogging his tours and, like, and having fun. Are you having fun on your tour?
I'm having fun. I couldn't wait.
Are you a single guy?
Yeah, single. I got a baby, though. So, yeah, well, baby mama.
I got two babies. Don't stop me from getting fucking lit.
Lit.
Having a good time. Up.
Yeah, you already know. So, man, just out here really having fun with it. Like, I realize life is what you make it. So, nice. You know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
All right, so what's tour life? So, you're here. You're planning Lawrence, you said, yeah?
Yeah, Lawrence.
And is it just Lawrence or Kansas City also? Like, how many?
Just Lawrence to stop. I did Kansas City last time.
Okay.
So,
how's Kansas City treat you?
I love it, man. The vibe. It's definitely a build-up crowd. Like you know, Kansas City is a place that you know, if they like you, they like you. If not, you know, you got to get them to make them love you, and that's what I'm on right now, just building the crowd each time. So
that's hard to do here.
Yeah, it is, but it's a lovely. Like the people that do come out and support is lovely, because that puts you in. Like for example, the people that came out last show put me in a position to be in Lawrence now. So
nice.
Yeah, and just word of mouth.
I like hearing that there's a little bit of, it's nice hearing that the good side of the local scene, because oftentimes you hear some of the animosity side. Yeah. Like, you know, oh, you did that for Pound Game, but you didn't do that for me. Like, I go to these city. Shows too. It's like, well, you know, take the hint. Maybe you're not that good. Like, I go to some of these shows. Do you perform over your vocals?
It depends what song it is. For the most part, I try to cut the verses out and leave the hooks on.
Okay, I'm fine with that. That's cool. But that's always my big gripe, and people hate me for it. But whatever. Like I don't. I'm not into like. I had a guest on my show recently, but not that recently. And I went to their show. I try to support my guests. Anyway, it don't matter. So I go to the show and. He/they, well, I'm not going to point him out. We're performing over the vocals. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I came all the way out here. I could have just hit your Spotify list. I'm buying drinks. I'm drinking Jameson doubles. You know, I'm mingling with the crowd. I'm having a good time.
Hear some rap.
Yeah. And all of a sudden that, I left. I left early. I was like, gone.
I ain't got time for this.
Don't have time for this.
They got to, like I said, what I do personally for my show mixes, I make sure, like, it's something more than just the track. Like, if I got to add, like, I might add some ad-libs in the studio just to, like, come on. Like, because when you hear it on the speaker, like, that's not on the original song. But to them, like oh, this is crazy. So it's, like, just about taking time to perfect your craft.
Look, I understand. I'm not a complete asshole. Like, if you have a song or two, maybe it's brand new and you're working on it. And you want to figure it out live. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I've been going to music shows my whole life. And if you go to I like all kinds of music, and if you go to like a rock show or alternative hip hop or alternative rock, they're not pushing play on their list and pretending to play the instruments and pretending to hit the drums.
Nah,
like they're actually like they've got that shit down. It sounds oftentimes as good as the record or better sometimes, because you're actually there live knowing they're doing it. And I hate calling hip hop out, but they are the most egregious offenders of this. They're constantly, I went to a Snoop Dogg and saw him do it in a few songs. I was like, oh, it broke my heart. Ever since then, I've kind of been like, all right, Snoop, you're fine. Just ride off in the sunset and just kind of like retire and go away and disappear. All right, you made your imprint. You know, you're one of the goats, if you want. Like you're performing over your lyrics. Like, but this was over 10 years ago. Okay. It was at Sandstone Amphitheater. He opened for 311, which is my favorite group. I don't have favorites. If I had to pick a favorite, it's 311, because they're still together.
Oh, well, they stayed together. That's hard to do in this game.
Do you know who 311 is?
I haven't heard of them. I seen them on like a big flyer one time.
Man.
So I know they're like very big, like up at the top.
I've been watching videos on YouTube mostly YouTube. Of course, YouTube. I've been watching videos on YouTube of, you're not, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
29.
Okay, so you're a young man.
Nice. I thought I was getting up there.
No, you're good. You're a young man. But I've been like watching these videos of like people probably 25, 24-ish, and they're listening to music that was like what I was listening to at a young age, like a 311. Or they did one recently. Do you know who Rage Against the Machine is?
Raging Against the Machine. You gotta get me hip to a lot of these people. I see.
Wow. Charles.
I know. I know who Rage Against the
Machine. I know you do. You're old. You're old, like me. Oh, that breaks my heart. That would have been like if my dad asked me if I knew like who Jethro Tull was, and if I said no, it probably would have broken his heart. All right. Anyways, 311 is a phenomenal 90s alternative band.
Okay.
They're from Omaha, but then moved to LA. They're huge. They're really fucking big.
Nice.
And they've been big since the 90s. And what's really amazing is they're still together. There's never been any controversy with them. Mm. All they do is, you know, kind of stay healthy, smoke a lot of weed, and play music. And that's kind of like all they've ever done. And it's kept them together. And I love seeing shit like that, because so many times you see these great bands who end up fighting and breaking up. And so you're sitting over here telling me you want to build like a perfect team. How do you go about building a perfect team? What's that formula for you if you have one? Like, what are you looking for?
Well, just with being in this music game, I've just learned like.
Okay, sorry guys.
No, you good. Just with being in this game, I learned like if you can build a team that everybody do something different, you know, everybody has a different purpose why they're part of this team. That's how the team is, you know, becomes strong and you move forward. But even if you have a team of everybody trying to do the same exact thing as you, it goes downhill, because it's always somebody that just feels like I can do it better than you. So just realizing what I need and what pieces I need and just building it like that production.
Do you have a mentor or anybody or somebody that's helping you guide through this life of touring and becoming an artist?
Yeah, my uncle taught me a lot. Stevie Stone. He used to be.
Really? That's your uncle?
Yeah, that's my uncle.
Nice.
Man, he taught me a lot about this game, introduced me to a lot of people, you know, as far as my openings, what I used to get done, like opening for Afro Man, MGK, Snoop Dogg, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
MGK.
Yeah, that guy.
That was just, he wasn't Rap Devil just dropped like the anniversary, the 5-year anniversary was just the other day of Rap Devil.
Yeah.
R.I.P. MGK.
Yeah. And just doing that, man, just kind of seeing, being able to, one, get the OG knowledge, and then, you know, just your peers around you. You know, if whoever's around you, you know, I tell him, man, he gives me a great advice all the time because, you know, his creativity buzz. And, you know, just adding that to what I got going and then hearing the advice from the OGs is just a lot of great knowledge.
Let's take a real quick break. And, VA, you want to pop on here? You're just sitting over there hanging out.
Listen, I'm soaking up the knowledge. I'm listening. Really?
You want to get on mic at all?
Nah, I'm cool.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. We won't take a break then. I just know that you work with him and you're doing your thing. I thought maybe you,
man, thing about VA is he's actually a designer, man. He got a lot of hands in a lot of doors, but
did
his
you
main
design
thing,
those pants?
Yes.
I like those pants. Yeah. I was like, all right, that ain't something you see every day. I like that shit.
Yeah, so, you know, he also does music as well. So, you know, his main thing is he got a brand called Valik Alistan, and he's just moving and, you know, going throughout tour, putting it in every city.
Do you know Roadrunner? Nick Milan? Malin? I always fuck his last name up. Malin, Nick Malin, a.k.a. Roadrunner. He's a local hip-hop fashion designer, dude.
No, don't.
He keeps telling me he's going to give me a shirt, but he never does. But he probably doesn't want to see a 44-year-old white dude wear his shit. And I understand I probably can't wear the shit that he designs, but I would.
Yeah, just support it, you know.
Support it and whatever. Like, I'll dress fun. You don't like the tequila?
Barely sipping it. Barely sipping it. More of a smoker. So I sip on a little tequila. All right. More of a smoker. All right, no.
All right. Where was I at? Tour life. I got so many different places to go. Stevie Stone is a local guy, right?
Yeah.
Are you a local guy, but you're in Phoenix, Arizona? Like, where are you from? Are you from Phoenix?
I'm originally from Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, Como, they call
it. Yeah,
that.
Como. So then I've been out in Phoenix for like the past 6 years, you know, just growing. And before that, I was in Texas for a little bit. And then now I'm looking to get into like the East. So just moving and grooving, but taking it all from Como. So.
Do you know who C-Dub the Youngblood is?
C-Dub the Youngblood. Mm-mm.
He's out in the Phoenix area. He's from here, and he's out, but he lives in the Phoenix area now. He's very talented. He's been in the game a few years longer than you. I don't know. You guys should at least follow each other on Instagram and like.
Yep. I'm gonna look him
up. I don't know. I hit him up. Hey, I was on Neanderthal. You were on the account. He said we should DM each other or something. I don't know. That'd be cool. I don't know.
What's his name?
Man,
C-W-D-A,
Youngblood. It might be the Young Monster. He's got so many AKAs. Like, he loses his account all the time because, you know, he posts questionable shit and gets, like, thrown in Facebook jail. And I don't know.
Oh, I see him. Yep.
The Young Monster. There he is. He stays out in the Phoenix area. Like, how tapped in with the Phoenix? I don't know how tapped in. I don't even know what the rap scene is like in Phoenix. Like, what is it? Because we have a pretty good one here. I mean, a big one, I think.
Definitely. Phoenix rap scene is, it's all about really the promoters. Like, if the promoters put
is
you
there
on,
a lot down there? Because there's a lot of Mexicans down there. So yeah. I know there's a lot of like Mexican culture, Mexican definitely music type stuff down there.
I was going to say that's probably 85% of the shows that happen. Just Mexican shows, like Bad Bunny there for 3 nights this week. And, you know, after him is going to be
Mexican OT.
Yeah, Mexican OT. He'll be coming and just different things. So a lot of that culture is just bringing people from L.A. and, you know, Cali. So you might get Blast or... who else is down there? YG.
Oh, shit.
So.
I like YG. Why do you want to go east? Why are you going, like, what makes you move around? Why'd you go from Columbia to Texas to Phoenix and now wanting to go east? Where do you want to go east?
Just building. You know, I don't like to stay stagnant. I feel like, why would I stay
here? What kind of rapper are you? Like, you're not like, you know, there's East Coast, West Coast, South.
Very versatile.
Kansas City style. Kansas City kind of has its own style, I would say. Or it's real, you know, we really got that chopper style down. And goddamn, what's like an E-40 type.
Yeah, yeah.
Influence.
What I've been able to do is every city I go to, I'll link with up with a different producer, right? But from that city. So what they're doing is giving me their sound, their beat, and I'm just keeping it real to myself. And then what you get in my music is you're going to hear a different type of beat all throughout the project. Because I done took 7 to 8 different producers to put them on this one album.
Oh, that's wild shit. Yeah. Okay, is there, like, how, why? Like, why do you do that instead of just kind of like one kind of style? Like, who were you looking up to when you, like, before you started deciding you wanted to get into the rap game? At the start, you had any kind of talent of singing and rapping? Like, who were you, like, who influenced you to have such a wide variety of likes?
I started off ghostwriting a little bit. And when I was ghostwriting, I'm making these records or hooks or whatever for these other people. And, you know, just the experience of drumming in church and all that and putting it together, I've always loved music. So
church, got you guys started in church?
Yeah, yeah, I started in church.
Cool,
drumming.
That's cool.
Yep, yep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so when I think what happened to me, I threw a festival back home. And for like the first couple years of my music career, I was only doing things for my city. And one time it just didn't.
Church stuff?
Nah, regular music.
Okay.
And it just didn't go as planned one time. And I sat there and I thought, I'm like, man, I'm finna take this around the world. Like, everybody deserves to hear this. Like, I'm not stopping until the whole world hears this. So when I made that decision, man, I just started going and,
oh wow,
you know, making different connections. And I would do one show in like Lincoln, Nebraska. And then all of a sudden, the Omaha promoter would be like, yo, come down here. And I'd be like, all right, bet. So now you got two cities in one state, you know.
You're doing it right.
Yes, sir. I'm trying
to. How fun is this?
Super fun. You meet so many people too, man. You like, man, this is crazy. Like,
we got a lot of cultures in this country.
Definitely.
America's not one culture. We're a melting pot, obviously, but we do. You're in the Southwest.
Yeah.
You got that Southwest culture with it, which is, you know, you got the Mexican influence, and then you got West Coast culture, which is, you know, super liberal and surfy and sunshine. Yeah. You got Midwest values. You got Southern hospitality. You got the East Coast that has different cultures with Italian Americans and Irish Americans and just crazy townies. And then you got, you know, the New York hip hop scene and music scene. Wow. Yeah. And so you're just kind of, wow, kind of Johnny Appleseeding it.
Yeah. And
throwing your little mix. But like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Pound Game Addison?
Yeah, I'll be in San Diego April 24th, and this is my first time going.
You're going from Lawrence to San Diego. Like, you're all over the place. What a beautiful thing.
We ending the tour in Oakland, so.
I always like kind of, like, I think, I love the touring idea for artists, and so I kind of tell local people, like, why don't you do more? I see local comics do it. Like, do, like, an Iowa, an Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas type.
Yeah.
You know, it's super easy to travel in this little corridor.
Definitely.
And so I think there's so many different college towns. And college kids are starving for entertainment. Especially in the Midwest. Let's face it. It's a bunch of bored white kids in the middle of fucking Iowa looking for some like culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do they gravitate to? We all know they gravitate to the hip hop. And so I think there's such an easy market for hip hop artists to go to these like small little Midwestern college towns and like, definitely, yo, I'm coming, like hit up some bar or whatever place that does music and be like, yo, I'm Pound Game Addison from fucking Phoenix. You don't know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're about to. I'm about to set that place on fire on Friday night. What you got for me? We'll take a cut, like, and negotiate shit.
Definitely, definitely.
But you're, like, taking it one step further and just going all over the place. And that's, are you, all right, you don't have to answer because it's personal, but are you making a profit on that kind of shit? Because that seems like it costs a lot of money to travel for driving and bringing a team to go to all these different places. Is it like, are you making a profit now, or is it like you're hoping to make a profit in the future and this is just kind of like investment?
Or everything's about a budget. So if I know, for example, I'm finna go, let's say I'm going to like a smaller town and I don't got to spend too much at all. Let's say I'm going to spend $500 to $600 in that city. I'm going to make sure there's 60 to 70 people in that building. Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is what you spent. This is what the minimum you got to get back.
Okay.
So anything over that is a success for me. Like, Nice. Oh, you got 100 people in this building? You eating. Then that turns into, you know, merchandise and other opportunities. So for me, that city was a success.
What's your favorite city in the 4 years you've been touring so far? You don't have to say Kansas City.
Oh, favorite city.
For whatever reason, maybe.
Los Angeles, man.
L.A.?
I went there, and I was just, I've never been shocked in my life. And I was on, at the first time I went, I was on a showcase. And the promoter was like, all right, you know, before you come out here and do your headliner show, I want you to come out here and perform. Man, I get there, and I thought I knew. And this is what opened my eyes, because the performer that went on right before me, he fucked them all the way up. Like, I was like, damn.
How so?
Like, his production, his energy, his entertainment, like, he really scaled it out. And I looked at him, I'm like, damn. And to me, before that, I had just never seen, like, someone really put that much effort into performing. Like, I've always been, like, a good entertainer. That's what people know me for. Like, I come out on motorcycles, whatever I need to do to make it funny. But for him to, like, make sure the venue shut the light off and put y'all phones in the air, no one knew where he was at. And it was just a dramatic thing. I was like, hey, I just learned something new.
Nice.
So, man, L.A., really, man, the culture, you learn something different every time you go. So,
Who was that artist that did that?
Stefan the Great. Yeah, L.A. artist.
All right.
Yeah, Stefan the Great, L.A., man. And then just being down there, I got to meet up with, like, A.D., the one, he runs, like, a No Jumper podcast down there.
Yeah.
So, man, just L.A., a lot of cultural just connections.
L.A., huh? All right.
Yeah.
I've never been to L.A. either.
It's nice, man.
I landed there. Almost got arrested there. I told that story. Smoking a vape on an airplane.
Oh, man.
Busted.
I'm surprised L.A. even said something about that. That's all they do.
I was in the air.
Oh, okay.
L.A. didn't say nothing about that. That was a stewardess as she was pounding down the fucking door trying to get in the bathroom. I got my dick in my hand. I'm sorry. I can't open it. And I threw that shit down the toilet, flushed it. It's like, I don't know why the smoke alarm went off. You can find that story in a past episode. I don't know which one, but find it.
Definitely.
L.A., so... is that your favorite place overall, favorite place to perform?
Just New York has grown on me. I've only been there twice, so I don't think I can call it my favorite city, but just the culture of New York. When I can go to a city and taste some whole different food, see people just acting way different than what the, you know, normally do, it's like I love it.
So what do you do when you're not performing? You got a lot of downtime. Some of your downtime is doing Neander Talk podcast, which can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Google, YouTube, over the place. Yeah, so you're doing podcast. Like, what do you like to do when you go to a city for a few days? Like, where are you staying? Where do you stay? What do you do? What's a tip? That's why I want to watch your vlog.
Yeah,
of tour life. I want to know what tour life is doing. Like, what are you doing?
Checking into the hotel as soon as we get there. And we're going to go hoop after
really?
We're going to go hoop and get some weed and try the best food in the city and just really enjoy the moment. The best, especially the first day, we're enjoying the moment of being here. Second day, it's time to get busy. So now we're making sure everything is organized with the show, making sure it's locked in. Usually we're in the cities about 2 to 3 days. So third day is show day. And by that time, you can kind of do all the work. You're just waiting to perform.
All right, you've been to Kansas City a few times now. Where is the best place to eat? What's your favorite places to eat in Kansas City?
Jack Stacks.
Okay.
That's my favorite go-to. It used to be Gates, but I end up loving Jack Stacks a little bit more.
Have you had Arthur Bryant's?
I have not.
Q39?
Mm-mm.
Joe's Barbecue?
Joe's, nope. Only Jack Stacks for us.
Only Jack Stack and Gates?
Yeah.
All right. Check my favorite, but it's very polarizing. Like, either people love it or hate it. But I like it because it's so different. And it is, it's a classic. It's called Arthur Bryant's.
Arthur Bryant's. What kind of food? Barbecue?
It's barbecue. Yeah, if, nice. You, if you're looking for barbecue, it's, oh, man. Charles, what do you think of Arthur Bryant's? Have you've had it?
I haven't really had Arthur Bryant's.
But what?
Yeah. I've had it a
while. What?
I had it a while back. It was cool, but
you haven't really had Arthur Bryant. Gates is such the safe, lame answer. Big fucking deal. Oh, yeah. Gates is fine.
No, but I've been fucking with Q39 this past week.
Q39's good. I've been check out Q39, too. A lot of people go to Q39 because it is like the hip spot to go to. It's the newer spot. I mean, it's not new. It's probably a decade old by now or more.
Yeah, yeah.
But my brother, he's from Detroit. And he came to visit one day, and he's like, take me to barbecue. And I was like, all right, there's this new Q39 place I want to try, or AQ, whatever. And so we go to Q39, and on the menu is, it's called the World's Greatest Wings.
Mm.
And we both looked at each other like, that's a bold fucking statement.
Yeah, they got to stand on that.
You can't, like, all right, sir. We'll try your world's greatest wings. Bring them out here. They bring them out. My brother and I, we each took a couple bites, and we looked up at each other. I was like, holy shit.
They was that?
These might be the world's greatest wings. They are legit.
And that's Q39?
That's Q39. Yeah. And they're not like, it's not like a barbecue wing. It's just a good smoke. It's just a good fucking wing. Good smoke
wing, yeah.
It's a good wing. So, all right, so. Jack Stack's your spot?
Jack Stack's, yeah.
All right. What else? What do you like to do here? When you're in Kansas City, what do you like to do? Just hang out? Do you just hang out in the hotel and play basketball?
No, I'll stop by Power and Light. That's like, I love the way that's set up. It's just different from every other city, trust me. It's just.
Are you free to do anything tomorrow? Like, are you looking for stuff to do tomorrow?
Oh, shows tomorrow.
You got shows tomorrow?
Yeah, so I got a Lawrence, Kansas tomorrow, Des Moines on Friday,
and then
Chicago Saturday, Champaign on Sunday.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You're doing it right.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to, so tomorrow's Lawrence.
Yeah.
And then Des Moines.
Yeah.
The next day?
Yep.
So all right, it's only a few hours away. And then from there to Chicago, do you have a couple, is it straight? Wait, so you have no time to, like, really do shit? Like, just Kansas City was the only spot you had to do shit? Like, why'd you pick Kansas City to kind of hang out and do shit?
What was before this? Denver. So I knew Denver would be a long trip coming down. And I just wanted to make sure I definitely had the rest. And I got family here, you know, Stevie, my uncle, my cousin. So it was like, why not?
All right. I heard you were a marijuana smoker. I'm not sure, but I heard that about you. Who has the best marijuana in the country that you've been to?
Oakland.
Oakland?
Yes. Oakland marijuana is crazy.
What makes Oakland marijuana better than all the other marijuanas?
To me, it's just the way they grow it. The strain is like more, like you can find an outdoor weed in Oakland compared to like most cities, and it's going to be like really the crisp of the flavor. Like, they really grow it down there. My second favorite is usually Denver, but it's, like, drier weed. So, it's like, you know, obviously that's the weed capital, maybe, or whatever.
Oh, is Denver the weed capital?
Yeah, that's where it started at.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How?
I mean, I don't know if it started there, okay. But, like, that's what people, like, it was first legalized in Denver.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I thought it was L.A. Like, L.A. did medicinal marijuana fucking forever ago.
Nah, they used to arrest the hell out of people in L.A. Like, in the 80s and 90s, they was fucking them up. Weed charges everywhere, but Denver's always been, like, legal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So,
I had no idea. I thought it was L.A. Like, I thought L.A. was the first people that did medicinal. Like, you get your medical card.
Nah, that might have been Denver.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Well, maybe the culture was more Denver. Okay. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, man. So just I'd be so tasting Oakland weed Denver? Like, wow. All
right. Who's got the worst? And why?
Worst weed.
And you don't have, it's, and it's not saying that it's bad. It's just
Tulsa,
not
at, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. That makes sense to me.
I just had a thought back in my head. Yeah, man, I was down there. This was my first time going to Tulsa. And it wasn't just one strain. I didn't base it off one strain. Like, I literally hit four different people. I'm like, yo, bring me some weed. Four different people brought me weed, and I'm just smoking. I'm like, bro, this is ass. And I'm like, what is this? So, yeah, definitely Tulsa.
When you're going to all these places and indulging in the marijuanas, is it, are you buying it through a dispensary or perhaps the black market, quote unquote? You don't have to out yourself, but, you know, maybe somebody that got it from the black market. You know what I mean? Like, how are you finding, like, what's the best way on tour to find the ganja?
Man, I used to be sponsored by Raw Papers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So he plugged me in with a lot of dispensaries, cannabis company, people that had it. So now every time I come to a city, you know, it's either going to be somebody showing me love and just bringing me that product. You know, if I can't find it, I'm definitely going to the black market.
Do you perform and go to places? Oh, Iowa's illegal, right?
Yeah. Is it now?
So if you go to places where it's not legal, I don't know about Iowa. I really don't know. I don't know about, let's pretend, it doesn't fucking matter. Let's say you're going to a place where it's not, you, there's not a dispensary you can go to. Are you still finding a way to get it? And is that?
Definitely.
You just, yeah, okay.
Definitely, definitely. Because if I know, like, for example, like if I go into Nebraska and the first tour I got flagged, and I was like, damn, this shit ain't legal. You know, the officer was cool about it, whatever, just made me throw it away. But like, now that I know that, I'm making sure the city beforehand is going to have some weed for me, so for me to take down there. So, yeah, it's going to always be some weed.
Do they still have border checks in, like, Arizona? Like, when you're going, like, there's different towns. I remember, I lived in Arizona for a hot minute, and I would drive from Arizona to here.
No way.
And sometimes, dude, I did this shit in a... What year was my car? Like an 89 Toyota Corolla. Damn. I drove from here to Tucson and back. I can't believe I did that shit. I drove, and I also drove from Rhode Island to here in a 94 Ford Ranger. Back before there was like smartphones and shit. You're like, you're listening to the fucking radio.
Damn. That's a long trip too, man.
That's a lot of country music. You're like, I'd rather listen to nothing. But yeah, there would be like these checkpoints you would have to go through, like border, like kind of border checkpoints. There was like border patrol, but it would be in the middle of Arizona. They were really just checking for drugs and shit. Is that still shit around? Like when you drove here, did you have to go through any checkpoints?
Nah, no checkpoints. I know like Tuba City, you know where that is in Arizona? Tuba City.
Oh.
So if you go through there, like they'll literally stop you if they smell it and just kind of like play with you, you know, like make you get out the car and all that. But that's the only city I've really seen. That and maybe Yuma because you're going into California.
Okay. Are there places that you haven't been that you want to go to?
Definitely. Definitely.
For like touring, I mean, like
Atlanta.
Oh, you haven't been to Atlanta?
Nah, like I got to be down there just on some like kick it stuff, but like, you know, every time we, you know, set up the tour or whatever, it just don't work out for the dates or, you know, something. But I actually plan on going there this summer.
Are you just, how do you set up a tour if you want to just go to Atlanta or go to a New Orleans or a Miami or a Daytona type shit? Like, if you're going to a new city and you want to set up a show, how do you go about that? Just Instagram DM somebody or like how does that work?
I have an EPK.
What's that?
So like electronic press kit, and it's got everything I've ever done in my whole like music career. So I'm able to send these off to these promoters, these you know, the venues. If they like me, they put me on. If not, hey, keep working. Keep it moving. So
And even they'll say, that, hey, I like your shit. Come and play at my venue.
Yeah, what they'll do is they'll send their offer out. Say, hey, we like this guy. You know, we feel like he'll bring this amount in. If he goes over this amount, we'll pay this on the back end. And basically, they just give you a number to reach. If you can reach that number, hey.
Of tickets to sell?
Yeah.
It's not based on, I like the way you sound.
Like, they start off by, like, I like you as an artist. I like your music. I want to bring you out here. Now it gets into, like, what can you do? You know, what's right, your number?
I could hate your shit. I could hate. Pound Game Addison is the trashiest rapper of all time, but he brings 500 people and they all drink. So I'll bring him in.
That's venue's about money. You know, right. That's the only thing it's about. They don't care who it is. Like, they might book. No one likes Lil Pump. But they might book Lil Pump. They gonna book Lil Pump because he's gonna sell out a theater, you know. So it's all about making it make sense for the venue. And what they do is they look at your other numbers. So
what do you got against Lil Pump?
Music is nothing against Lil Pump, but music.
What
is,
do you have, Pound Game Addison? What do you have against Lil Pump?
Hey, Lil Pump, keep doing your thing, man.
But you don't respect him. What is it about him you don't like, and what do you think he could do better?
All right, Lil Pump, this is what I think you can do better, man. Make better music.
You can't just say that. That's like, hey, Ryan, do better podcasting. What do you mean do better music? What does he need to do that's better?
I just feel like he got – so, all right, have you heard of like a TikTok rapper compared to like someone that really raps, you know?
Is that the same I feel like thing he's like a SoundCloud rapper?
He's like a not a SoundCloud because you know he definitely at the stage.
Yeah, now we got a TikTok rapper.
I think he got exposed when he got into the game as being like he came out with that lit song, came out with another lit song, and then after that, kind of just fell off. And what's happening is those people that got on that from them TikTok, you know, virals is just falling off now.
They do say you got to be careful about that. There is like a TikTok thing where like they have like one bar. It goes hard with just like all the production behind it, and they but you'll see that like 20 different times.
Yeah,
like there's this dude, and I don't know, I haven't looked that deep into it. His name is Young Martyr.
Young Martyr.
He's a white dude from, I think he's from the United Kingdom. So he's one of these English dudes. Like, and that English rap is different. You know, yeah, it's kind of like drill rap, but a little bit.
No, in their own twang.
Yeah, and they're not like killing anybody. It's not like real drill, but they kind of have like that style. And he just has this like, how does it go? Tell the IRS to suck my motherfucking dick. I sent that tax postman Pat. And that's like all it is. It's like one hard bar, and he does it like wearing different outfits and shit. And it's a hard bar, and it sounds good with the music. But then, and you see it, and it's like, how is this motherfucker all of a sudden all over my algorithm? And it's like, oh, he's a TikTok guy. Like, I like checked his Spotify out. It's like, but you don't really have that much shit. And it's that one kind of hard song, but only like that first, like, whatever, like your 30 second clip out of it goes hard.
Good marketing, very good marketing.
Is there a spot for, like, is there a living out of that? You're saying Lil Pump does that? Lil Pump's a TikTok rapper, sucker.
He getting money, though, you know? And I said, that definitely, you know, TikTok and videos are really paying out right now. So if you can go viral on that, you know, you're getting a check in 3 months, and, you know, you're eating.
All right, you can be... you can be a TikTok rapper making quite a bit of money, millions of views every month, but not super respected in the craft by your peers. But you're like, fuck you, I'm eating and I'm eating good. Or, you know, you're touring and making a decent living. You can pay your bills and you can smoke weed and drink whatever you want where you go and dress how you want. But you haven't made it, but you're respected where you go. What do you want?
I want the longevity. So if I know I'm going to make a TikTok song and be off in a year or two, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't know what amount of money that is, but I want the longevity of being like, like a Snoop Dogg. Like, he's been rapping for, what, 30 plus some years? and his longevity, and he's
more
able.
More than that, he started when he was like, what? What was Lottie Dottie? He tells his name is Lottie Dottie.
He's been around for it. He's been going for a minute. But you know, he's at a place now where.
How old is he? Hey Siri, how old is Snoop Dogg?
Snoop Dogg is 52 years old.
52?
52.
Oh man, he looks.
I was gonna say like 58 or something.
He looks older than he should.
Yeah, that's that weed and no exercising.
Man. Hold on, bro. I gotta read a text message real quick. Not out loud. My son is sick right now.
No, most definitely.
I'm just kind of making sure I don't have to go to the hospital. All right, sorry.
No, you're fine. Now, like the longevity, you know, he's able to create TV shows, restaurants, just a bunch of other avenues because of what he created with his day one fans. And now he can sit at home in L.A. and get booked for a random show for $50,000 and, you know, do
I don't
one
know
show
that it's his day one fans that are doing that. Them day one fans are older than me. he creates fans from, like, 15, 20 years ago that are still sticking with him, which is great. I'm not super hating on Snoop Dogg, but I would just like to see him like the ride off in the sunset. I'm ready.
Time to retire.
Yeah. I'm done with Snoop. I've had you and Martha Stewart go hang out and make a cooking show on YouTube together.
What do you think about 50 Cent?
I love 50.
Okay. That's not, like, you know, that's what I'm looking to do. Like, he started off with music, created that avenue for himself, got into movies, TV shows.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I just love the pettiness of 50 Cent. I'm a petty motherfucker. Like, if you start, like, I won't start no shit, but if you start it with me, VA is sitting on a shirt right now for something I created. Look behind you, that shirt I created for someone that started some beef with me. Let me see. It's a booger wrangle. I found a picture of him online with his gut hanging out, looking like a trashy son of a bitch.
And put it on
and so
shirt.
I took the iPhone emoji of a pregnant man.
God, man.
And put it next to him, and I, you know, I said something like, "This is where Steve Jobs got the idea for the pregnant man."
Man.
Booger wrangle. So yeah. I love me some pettiness. Yeah. I love what 50 Cent does, the jaw rule. I love, Jaw, you're going to go be in, you're going to put on a show in Memphis next week? Watch this. And he buys like the first four
I remember that.
Rows so nobody can sit there.
That was funny. They content was all messed up that day.
I love me some 50.
Yeah, man, 50 Cent. Just that, the avenues are just. Creating other stuff for yourself.
You can move this back to you too. Let's take a break real quick if you guys don't mind. I gotta go potty.
Most definitely.
Like a Russian racehorse. Alright, we're back. Don't call it a comeback.
Hey.
Jeez. Yeah, having kids is so fucking stressful. How do you deal with that as a you know, a tour life? How do you deal with having, you know, a child?
Just, it actually makes me go 10 times harder. You know, I just realized what I got back home, and now, you know, I've been blessed with a child, so I'm going 10 times harder on everything
How
I do.
How old is your kid?
A year and a half.
Oh, shit. Is it hard being away?
It is. It's killing me daily. Yeah, I got to FaceTime him like 4 or 5 times a day. Like, yo, even if it's just for that minute and he runs off, it's just like I got to.
Right. I feel you. Well, that's cool. It means you're a good dad.
Definitely.
That can't be an easy life.
Rough.
What are your goals? What is your ultimate goal?
Ultimate goal is to, you know, I'm big on reaping my benefits. I want to put the work in now, then be able to sit down 5 years or 10 years, whatever it may be, and be like, okay, I worked all this life. Now I can sit down and sit back. Especially with a kid now, I want like the backyard with the treehouse and,
really?
You know, him to be comfortable. And yeah. So, yeah, that's the goal, is just building for my family now.
Damn. Yeah, it's all you can do. Once that happens, it's over for you.
Yeah.
But you can still have fun.
Oh, definitely.
And that's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah, if you don't have fun with it, you're going to be depressed the whole time, so you better have fun.
When you're on your tour with your boys, I imagine, what are, like, do you have any fun stories or wild stories? Like, do you guys, like, it can't just be, like, going to Jack Stack and having a drink or two and going back to the hotel room and going to bed and watching, you know, Netflix or whatever. Like,
nah.
What's going on? Give me something fun.
It's real active, man. It's like every city is a different experience, you know, because let's say you go into a local, just small community that don't have any entertainment come to them whatsoever. They're going to make sure you have the funnest night while you're there.
Oh, really?
Like, they don't want you to leave that city without, like, yeah, he came here and he kicked it.
Really?
Like, it's love. Like, Amarillo, Texas, very, very small city. But every time I go there, you got the dirt bikes coming out and everybody's drunk, faded. And just, I performed on top of a roof one time just because that's how the venue was set up. And it's just fun. Like, they want you to jump off the roof into the crowd. So
I hope they're insured.
Man, it's just different things. So, yeah, it's more than just, you know, getting checked in. And you really got to be out here and show face. Like, you got to let people know you're in town. So we may do this different stuff. Like, maybe we might go rollerblading or bowling.
Anything wild? Like, are you so, you know, for every young man when they're, you know, what, 13, 14, 12, they're like, oh, it would be cool to be a rock star. It'd be cool to be a hip hop artist, whatever. It'd be cool to be a touring artist. Why? So I can get laid. And so I can get all the women and the, like, you know what I mean? Like, ultimately, that's what every young man gets into that kind of shit for. And now I understand that idea changes as you get older, but to some degree, it still has to be there. Like, is that there in the tour life? Is there like groupies? Is there that kind of fun too? Like, hey, you know,
definitely
come
definitely.
Back. Let's make a twerk, smoke some weed. Like the most stereotypical rap video ever. Like, are we living that life too?
It's definitely a lot of groupies on the road. And you know, it's just about what you know, focused on. Like, if I feel like, you know, going to get my nut off that night or whatever, I mean, that's what a groupie. But if I feel like chilling, you know, for the most part, I'm ready to get to the next city, you know, especially after being in that city for 3-4 days. It's like, so if you ain't fuck with me in them 3 days, you're over with.
Pound Game Addison, do you have hoes in different area codes?
I ain't going to sit here and say I got just bitches in every area, but you know, there's some cities that's been built up that's like, okay, I know who I'm going to see.
Really?
When I get to this city.
Nice. So, nice.
Yeah.
Who's got the best the best ladies? Best looking, maybe best, what in your opinion, like the best,
Phoenix,
whatever that means.
Phoenix got a lot of them. Like Phoenix, I would give it to North Carolina. Then if I had to do a third one, just anywhere, California, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just then they're already hip to, like, this music life. So they're like, no, like, if I'm coming on the bus, the hotel, or anything, like, I'm coming to get wild.
Nice.
So.
All right. Any throat goats out there hanging around? All right, who's got the worst? Who's got, like, just the... like, whatever. Like, I'm doing this music and leaving you cows behind. Not interested. Like, it's mostly dudes anyways. Like, are there any spots where, like, nah, I'm good. I can't wait. I'm leaving. Bye.
Let me see. Any spots?
Maybe not. Maybe every spot's pretty good. But is there a spot that's just like, man, no.
For the most part, every spot's been cool. It ain't nice. Like no spot I'll be like, oh, I'm never coming back there again. But, you know, there's some spots you like, okay, I know what this is. So let's book only one day compared to booking 3 days.
Hell yeah. Do you have any beef with anybody out there?
Nah, man. Just nah. I used to. I know I was into it with Royce Bell at a point in time. You know, he was a comedian, and that was just on some other personal business. But besides that, I ain't had no rap beefs. Or my energy is good for the most part. Like, you know, if they meet me, they know I ain't coming to, like, clout chase, you know, get on that with them. So it's pretty cordial.
Okay. Is rap beef good for the game?
We were just talking about that. It's a lot of fake rap beef out here.
Well, I understand that.
So, like, you can never take someone too serious because it's like, one, if it's really beef, I know exactly where you're going to be at, and I'll go do that. But for the most part, a lot of it's fake rap beef, and I don't think it enhances your career because you got to stand on that.
All right, but what if it helps your career? What if it's a lot of people that don't know that it's fake, even though you guys are kind of giving it a wink and a nod? Like, we know we're just kind of like starting drama because drama sells. But
drama do sell.
But if a lot of people don't know and think it's real, is there a place for that in the game?
I mean, it's entertainment, though. You know, like,
right.
If it's executed perfect, it can really enhance your career. Like, a lot of people that don't even know you're tuning in just because you're trending.
Well, like we were talking earlier, MGK.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he really have, you know, do people really have rap? No. I'm saying, does he really have a beef with Eminem, or is it like I'm going after the GOAT, and if it responds, that's huge for me because I get all that, like, no publicity is bad publicity.
No publicity is bad.
However, I think he buried himself. He brought his shovel to his own grave in that video. Like, he, you know, look where he's at now. He had to switch genres. He's Megan Fox's side piece now. It's not MGK's chick. This is Megan Fox's dude.
Yeah, it makes it break. Like, I've watched a couple of beefs over the, like, the Meek and Drake beef.
That was a cool beef.
That really brought a lot of attention to both artists on their own, you know, perspectives. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I tried setting up my last episode with Cam F. Awesome. I tried setting him up. I gave him the volley to start some shit with one of the Paul brothers because he's an Olympic. He's the winningest boxer ever. He's an Olympic qualifier. What? And he's got kind of a little bit of a name and shit. Like, why not try to? You know, I set him up. I set Alley-oop. Him up. Alley-oop. Slam dunk that shit for a fucking 9-9.
Yeah.
And he, like, passed it back to me.
Oh, man.
And made me take the three. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, oh.
He ain't want to dunk.
No, he's like, oh, the Paul brothers are cool. I don't have any problems. Like, he's like, I'm not about that. Like, you know, there's a place for it. You know, like, come on, play the game.
Yeah.
I'm thinking sometimes there's a game to be played.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
Like, do you ever think about, like, hey, maybe I can just start some beef? Like, I'm going to Chicago next week or in a week and a half. You would probably want to plan it. Like, I'm going to Memphis in 3 months. Let me call someone out there.
Oh, like setting up ahead
Set
of time.
Set it up. Mm. Or maybe not. Or just starting a beef somewhere where maybe it is just like, hey, maybe this could catch some traction. Maybe somehow you quote unquote leak it to like some big name podcasters out there, like try to get on like No Jumper or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
Did you hear this beef about, you know, Pound Game Addison and whoever, CW Youngblood? And it's a fucking Phoenix, Kansas City. Like, they both have ties to Kansas City, but they're both in Phoenix. And all of a sudden, like, one's like, wait a minute, no. I'm the fucking king of this fucking shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can start
I ain't never
shit
thought
like
about that. That's smart, though.
That's what I'm saying. You've never thought about that.
Yeah, see.
There's some fucking beef out there, Addison. Let's go.
That next move, man. Who wants the beef, man? Anybody.
Yeah. You're too nice of a guy.
Yeah, I'll be chilling. See, my thing, a lot of stuff don't get me mad, though. Like, I don't get pissed off. Like, you get me pissed off.
All right, it's him and Cam F. Awesome. These two need to have beef because both the nicest people on earth that, you know, could probably beat the hell out of most people, but they're like, nah, we're cool. We ain't got to do shit.
Hey, we chilling, man. That's funny, though. Yeah, man, just no one really comes at me.
I know. No one's coming at you because you're too nice and too cool of a dude. That's why you have to flip the script, like pull heel, like turn heel, and like you go after somebody.
And get on that.
Is there a spot for that, Charles? Is there a spot for somebody to like turn heel? You're the super good guy, and then you turn heel and just go after somebody so unexpected. Like some dude that's like known for rescuing dogs and like giving money to women's shelters, and you go after him. for some weird reason.
I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin was always considered a heel.
Yeah, but he was never good. Like, the ultimate heel.
Made him a good guy, though.
Well, no, the ultimate heel was Sergeant Slaughter. Now, this is super, super, super old school wrestling. Sergeant Slaughter was like the American. Well, Hulk Hogan did a big turn heel, too. But Sergeant Slaughter was like G.I. Joe. He was literally in the cartoon G.I. Joe. Dang. Like, he was like mainstream, but all American. It's USA, USA, rah, rah, rah.
Oh, man.
And then, like, he turned against America, like, sided with, like, Iran with, like, not the King Ayatollah. What was the dude's name? He died recently with the big mustache, Iranian guy. But he, like, turned heel and went, like, pro, like, Iraq or Iranian guy during, like, the heat of, like, the Gulf War. Turning ultimate heel, like being pro-America to like anti-America.
Oh, man.
What was that guy's
name? He flicked the whole script.
I would say John Cena went heel for a little bit, too.
I stopped watching at the John Cena stuff.
Oh, damn.
What do you like to watch, Pound Game? Do you are you a Netflix guy? A Hulu? Like, do you watch movies, TV shows?
Sports. A lot of sports.
Okay.
If I'm at home, I'm watching Netflix, you know, probably Power, Raising Kanan on Stars.
What's your sport? I'm assuming basketball, since you like to play it all the time.
Yeah, basketball. Definitely.
Phoenix Suns?
Favorite team? Anywhere LeBron goes. that and the Denver Nuggets right now. They're my favorite two. Yeah. Huh. I just like the way Denver plays as a whole.
Walking triple double,
man.
Yeah. I got to think about it. So I was, like I said, I'm quite a bit older than you. I was a Jordan guy.
Jordan, I knew it.
I was born and raised in Michigan, so I should have been a Pistons guy.
Hmm.
But I was just a Jordan guy. I just was. And so I was always a Bulls guy, and when the Bulls played the Pistons, it was the greatest rivalry, like just the bad Bulls. It was so great. But I'm just wondering if Jordan would have switched, like played with the Bulls for 4 years and then went to somewhere like L.A. and then went to Portland and then wherever, Charlotte, you know what I mean? Like would I have just followed him? And what I have, or most people have thought, he was as great as he was because he was with one franchise.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Wizards too for that 1 year.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. The Wizards doesn't count. Like,
he still played 81, though.
Nah, Wizards doesn't. Jordan is the Bulls' Jordan. Until he went to playing baseball, it was a whole, you know what I mean?
Not the baseball. I forgot.
Yeah.
You can't forget about the baseball.
Yeah, he went legendary with it. He went to a whole new sport.
Yeah, but it was minor league, and he didn't last that long, and he wasn't that great, and he bought himself on the team, and he was just getting himself away from scandals.
Do you think LeBron could go play football?
Yeah, tight end.
Yeah, I think he could. Yeah, because he's built special. He's so big. Yeah, he's a specimen. I think he could play any sport. I can't play every sport because I'm 5'10", white, 175 pounds. I'm a soccer guy. I was built for soccer. I can't play. Yeah, I had a scholarship. Like, I was really good at soccer. But I had always said, us soccer people, if you're not in that, most people are outside of the soccer world. When we're in the soccer world, we're like, man, why don't we have a better American team for, like, the World Cup?
Oh, man.
It's because we don't have the best athletes. The best athletes aren't going to fucking play soccer. Could you imagine if the U.S. men's soccer team was full of LeBron James-type people? Just the giant specimen of specimens, like the Tyreek Hills, you know. I don't think I would say Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he'd be a good soccer player.
Nah, hell no.
Yeah, he was. But like, if they played soccer, what that was like, could the rest of the world even think about competing? Would it be like the 94 Dream Team of soccer all the time?
Soccer is a lot of running and you know, practice to get it in the goal, I think they would be out of their zone with that type of sport.
No, but I'm thinking if LeBron his whole life played soccer, oh, that dude, that skill set, because he could obviously be successful at any sport.
Yeah.
And with his size advantage and everything, if there was just a soccer team full of LeBron type athletes, jeez, like are the best athletes in America don't play soccer. They play the other sports first. Then they come to us. Mm-hmm. So like if you could get those, that was always the soccer argument. Like, oh, look, we're just not as big of a sport.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a bunch of LeBron James playing that sport that really know how to play soccer.
Right. We'd rule the world.
Yeah, it would be over with.
Be like any other thing.
Like, I'm just imagining, like, everybody, imagine trying to run, and especially with the speed and all that against them. Like, Tyreek Hill speed with LeBron size.
And as we all know, flopping is huge in soccer, and LeBron James, one of the greatest basketball floppers of all time.
Hey, he would eat. He would be scoring.
That's why
all
he's
the calls.
Not the best. You know, that's why MJ is the best. Not different
okay,
era.
What you,
MJ is
so what
the
about
best.
Kobe? Where would you put them?
Oh, Kobe's
if you had to go top three.
Kobe's probably not even in the top 10.
Oh.
I don't even think he's in the top 10. And I'm not a huge basketball guy, but I know enough about that Kobe shouldn't even be in the top 10. He's not even the top 5 Laker.
Oh, he's definitely number one. He's probably, yeah, number one Laker because Shaq goes behind him, I believe.
No way. Shaq.
Over Kobe?
Kareem, Magic.
Oh, well, he's definitely top five then. We'll do that.
Right, he's top five. So how can he be top three in the NBA if he ain't even a top five Laker? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't get to watch like Kareem and them. You know, I got to watch the Shaq era, the
me
Kobe.
Neither, but you know what it was. Like, it's fucking
they were dropping 60 points a game.
Yeah. Magic. That era was
Magic
wild.
Magic, too, yeah.
Yeah, Shaquille. He couldn't have done it without Shaquille. Isn't that what Shaquille's rap song? What do you think about Shaquille as a rapper? Big Diesel.
Big Diesel. I think he got to another lane, see some easy money. It was like, hey, let's get it. Big Diesel.
Any good? He you got think, was he good?
I really ain't listened to his song. No, I just knew he made
not.
Some.
That's what I was saying. We took a break real quick to use a restroom, and I was thinking, I cannot believe he doesn't know who Rage Against the Machine is. It's like, I can't believe that there are people out there, because in my world, and especially in my age bracket, there's just people like they're like Rage Against the Machine is like one of the all-time great. It's not just rock, like they bring in, it's just the sound. Brought in all kinds of cultures, and I don't know. It's just
like a acoustic sound or like rocket.
It's rock with. I don't want to say rock with rap. It was a different kind of. I don't know. I'm gonna have to just. I just have to put you on it.
No, yeah, I put it in my notes. I'm gonna listen to it.
Yeah,
and then I'm gonna be able to tell you some lyrics.
Yeah, I'll put you on like a couple songs, and you'd be like, oh yeah, I kind of want to do a reaction video and just put on a song. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's end this podcast. And then because this next one will get a copyright strike because we're going to play a song. So we'll do this separate so it doesn't get struck. So
definitely.
All right. Thanks again for doing this.
Absolutely.
Like, it really means a lot to me when people from out of town are like, hey, let me go do the hardest podcast in Kansas City and see if you'll have me on. And you reached out to me after a long time and was like,
let's do it.
I appreciate you reaching out to me and wanting to come out and do this.
Definitely.
Fucking cool.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Much respect.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to say to anyone out there listening? This is going to drop on Monday.
Okay.
Which is, I'm getting my calendar out. What's Monday? March 4th.
March 4th.
So this will drop on March 4th. So anything after March 4th, is there anything you want to promote? Like you can clip this and use it on your social media. Like, yo, I'm going to be here, there, there. Like I need weed in this spot. I need pussy over here. I need good barbecue over here. Tell me where to eat over here. Blah, blah, blah. Memphis, Chicago. And coming after you, Meek Mill in Philadelphia. Look out, motherfucker. I got beef with you. Like, what do you got right now? Where are you coming? Let the people know.
Hey, man, I'm going to Detroit, Oakland, San Diego. You know, the 20 hours tour going all throughout the states. Definitely need the weed, the good vibes. Ladies, come out. Throw that pussy if you're going to throw it. And we're going to turn up, man. Yeah, looking forward to the rest of the tour.
Hell yeah. Pound Game Addison, available. You can find him on YouTube. He's got some good music videos up there, good production value. It sounds good. Look him up on Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff. If he's coming to a city near you, support him. It's going to be a good show. He's not performing over his lyrics. He's a real one. Yeah. You're not going to leave. And yeah, give this man some love. I appreciate you being here, man.
I appreciate you, brother.
All right, let's get out of here. Bye.
Leave me the fuck alone. Neanderthal, hardest podcast in the world, you stupid ass bitch.